there, I'm Simone Seoul. I'm the Korean mom you never knew you needed, and I whisper encouragement and slap down the unnecessary bullshit that keeps you frozen and disenchanted. Let's do this.
Sam Garcia here from Team Simone, and Simone asked me to come on and share one of my favorite past episodes of I Am Your Korean Mom, and I pulled one from the archives. This is Simone's story of making her first $1 million, which was in 2020. If you've been in Simone's world for only a year or two, you may not know Simone's rapid success story. She didn't slow build to $1 million. She went right from making her first six figures in 2019 to then making her first seven figures in 2020. Not many people pop like this, so this episode is going to be a time capsule from this shocking growth time period in Simone's business. So in this episode today, you'll hear Simone's behind-the-scenes opinions on what she believes is the reasoning behind going from zero to $1 million in 2 years. And what I love so much about this, and the reason I chose this as one of my favorite episodes, is because most people will look at a seven-figure earner and try to replicate that business, when actually the business structure that you have building up to six or seven figures is different than the business or what the business looks like after making seven figures or a few years after consistently making seven figures, like in Simone's case now. So you'll hear in this episode, Simone talking about the grit, albeit joyful grit, and sacrifice that she had to put in at this stage in her business, which now in 2024 is just not required anymore. So enjoy. This episode has so many lessons in it and is pretty much a mini training on a few core Simone principles that you may have never heard before, including how Simone planned and had four six-figure launches in 2020.
Today, I am celebrating a brand new milestone in my business, which is that I have created now over $1 million of revenue in a year, or technically 11 months. And I wanted to share my thoughts about it. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you know that every time I hit a new milestone for myself, I like to talk about it just to take stock of what's in my brain at this moment, kind of like a time capsule of this moment, because I'm going to forget what it's like to just have made $1 million. And I want to share with you what I am noticing about what the journey has been like, what thoughts are on my mind now, and what my plans are for the future. And I want to answer also some questions that I got from my community about this. So you might be listening to this, and I don't know, some of you might have it as your goal to make $1 million, but others of you, it will feel like traveling to Mars and it'll feel really, really far away. And I want to tell you that I didn't start out wanting to make $1 million just because it's not something that I ever considered was even like something that even was relevant to my life, right? It's basically like traveling to Mars. I've never really thought about it except as a something that happens in like movies, because I never considered that it's something that would ever be an option for me. And it started to become more of an option for me not that long ago, because I like to remind people as often as possible that less than two full years ago, I was selling tarot readings for $38 each per reading that I delivered via email. It was very special. I keep saying that, like I did $38 tarot readings in under 2 years ago. And I hope it doesn't come off like I'm just sort of deriding that experience, because like, listen, my tarot readings were awesome. Everybody loved them. They were in very much demand. I was a very good fortune teller. And I'm very proud of the work that I did as a tarot reader. So I don't mean to say it like, oh, that sucked and where I am is so much better now. In fact, I loved where I was then, which is what got me to where I am now. Anyhow, so when I was doing a few tarot readings a week for $38 a week, you know, it was the math to make $1 million just did not make any sense. It's not something I even thought about. But once I started making more money as a life coach, once I started challenging myself to new levels of business skill and mastery of certain business skills that would continue to take me to higher and higher levels of income. And I want you to really hear what I said there. I said, I was working on the skill of business, right? I think a lot of the times when we start out as coaches, because most of us, we didn't start out with an entrepreneurial skill, right? Most of us didn't come here with already with business, entrepreneurial, business building experience under our belts, so that in the beginning, when we know that we are really good coaches and we love working with people and we're passionate about the work and business doesn't take off immediately, we get very discouraged. But you have to remember that business is an entirely new skill set. And actually, it's not a skill set. It's a whole set of skills. Wait, that's what it means, a skill set. Okay, never mind. So it's already plural. There are lots of skills that you need to be great at business, and they take time to learn. You know, it's like wanting to be awesome at surgery from the first day of business school. It just does not make sense. And your coaching skill and your business skill are totally different, right? Totally different and separate. So basically, as I was working on my business skill, even though my coaching skill was the same, I was making more and more money. And, you know, I just had a mentor. I still have the same mentor who just kept suggesting the possibility that I could make $100,000 last year, actually. And that was the first time I even thought about that, like $100,000 as something that's like relevant to my life, is because it's something that I can do. And I was like, what is that? Could that be true? My gosh, that sounds like it would take forever to do. I thought 100K would take forever to do because it felt like so hard. I think a lot of people that I know, a lot of coaches that I know, are used to making quite a bit of money from their old jobs, right? They used to have sort of office jobs where they made, you know, six figures. And to them, that's the normal amount of money to make. But for me, I come from the nonprofit world and I wasn't even particularly ambitious in that area. So to me, like, I wasn't even thinking that I was ever going to make like six figures in my life ever, because I was in the nonprofit world. So when I transitioned to coaching, it just felt like, whoa. And then so once I pulled off the 100K, people kept saying around me, this is why it's so important to put yourself in rooms where people say things to you that make your head explode, right? Like in the mastermind I was in, that I'm still in, people kept saying, oh yeah, like multiple six figures, no problem. $1 million, yeah, we're all probably going to do it. And I was like, what? What world is this? Hold on, everybody, slow down. What did you just say? What? How many zeros is that, right? Allow for that initial doubt, initial like, yeah, right. Or maybe it's for them, but not for me. Those feelings. But then it eventually, like, they brainwashed me into thinking that, oh, wait, maybe this isn't the cards for me too. And so I want to be that person for you right now. Even if you think, oh my gosh, I'll never make $1 million, or I don't even want to, or that doesn't even feel like anything that's available to me. I want to be the whisper in your mind that plants that little chip in your brain that says, maybe I don't have to know how right now. I don't have to get on board with this entire idea like right this second, but I'm just going to just open that door of possibility just like the teensiest little bit, like a hundredth of an inch. I'm just going to like crack that window open. Okay. I'm just going to let tiny bit of wind like breeze through that crack. Okay. Growth can happen a lot faster than you think. And the idea of what you think is possible and available to you now is just a thought. And you can change your thoughts in ways that are really surprising. And by the way, this is a total aside, but as I was listening to some of my older episodes, I realized that my voice in this entire podcast just kept getting more and more like nasal. And I wanted to tell you why. It's because I have allergic sinusitis, which it just keeps getting worse. Like my nasal pathway is more and more blocked. Yes, I went to a doctor and the doctor said, it's allergic. I can't do anything about it for you except prescribe medication. And I was like, what? He was like, it's incurable. You just like take meds and you pray. And so I was like, oh, whatever. And I don't want to take allergy meds all the time. So you're just stuck with my nasal voice from now on. And it kind of breaks my heart because very early in this podcast, my voice wasn't nasal and it's just getting more nasal. Oh, well. Yeah, you really had to know that about me. Okay, so $1 million. It's available to you too. If I can do it, you can do it. And I want to tell you a few things that I noticed about what got me here. And I've done episodes, you know, with like six-figure launches where I said, this is what I did to get here. And I answered a lot of questions. And so I was asking myself, what's new that I can share with this million-dollar episode? And I have a few things to share with you. So number one is that I want to go on the record and correct some of the things that I have said in the past. Not because I was lying in the past, but because I think I was unwittingly sort of giving the wrong impression. So basically what I want to say is I used to spend a lot of time telling people that I didn't work hard. And there was a truth to that statement. I kept repeating, I don't work hard. I don't work hard. I take these long afternoon naps very often. Like I cook my meals from scratch. I take 3-day weekends. I don't work hard and I still make a lot of money. And I used to say that. And it's not a lie. Like it's that all of that, none of what I said is not true. But at the same time, like the last few weeks, I realized that it's not true in a different way, in the sense that I work very hard, in fact, and it doesn't feel like hard work because of the way I feel about it. I had this moment actually just a couple nights ago when I was working in my office. It was like 10 p.m. or something. I don't usually work at that hour, but I just remember something I had to do. And then I was just typing away on my computer and my husband came by. He just peeked his head into my office and he said, just out of the blue, he was like, babe, I think I get why you're so successful. And I was like, oh, really? What? Why? Why am I successful? And he said, it's because you love this. You love this. Most people work because they have to. I've been watching you and there's nothing you love more than this. And he just gestures to my entire office setup and my computer and my and me typing. And he's like, you work so hard because you love it, like harder than anyone I know and from so much love. And that's exactly why you made $1 million. And that's why you're going to make millions more. Nobody can take this from you. You love it so much. And I was like, guilty as charged. And I realized he was right. You know, he sees me right next to him, you know, more than anybody, like in real life. And he has seen me work my butt off. And not all the time. But there will be times when I'm a little bit more relaxed and there'll be times when I like really, really push. And I have been pushing leading up to my launch just over these past couple of months. And I realized that, hey, maybe what he noticed might be this one of the big secrets of my success is that I work my butt off, but it doesn't feel like, oh my God, it's so much hard work because I love it. So that's the first thing I want to share about what contributed to my like 0 to 1 million story in over 2 years, because is that not only did I work really hard, but I also made a lot of sacrifices. I was just talking to one of my clients about being an example of what's possible in terms of the fact that I'm in a different continent than the vast majority of my clients and my coaches and my colleagues, right? Like I live in Korea. And I would say like 90, maybe like 85% of my people are in the US. The rest are in like other parts of North America. The rest are in Europe, Australia, but most are in the opposite time zone as me. And that means that for a long time, I just busted my ass doing a lot of super early morning calls, super late night calls, and even middle of the night calls, like for over a year, I've told this story before, every single Thursday, I woke up at 3 a.m. to be on my own mastermind calls. Now, my schedule now is a lot easier because I have a different workflow and I'm not on so many calls. And I've structured my life in a way where I only have a few calls a week and usually like zero calls after noon. And I still make lots and lots of money. But to create this life, for a long time, I just had to sacrifice a lot. And again, those things didn't feel like sacrifices. I made those sacrifices from joy and purpose and even gratitude. I remember when I first got into the mastermind that I got into, and I knew that it meant that I would be getting up at 3 a.m. once a week, every week for God knows how long. And all I could think was, like, thank God there's a way for me. I'm like, thank God that I get to be in this room at all. Thank God that I get to learn from my coach. What an honor. I will gladly get up in the middle of the night for this. It's the greatest opportunity of my life. And I was just grateful for all of it. And I felt that way while working ungodly hours to work with clients as well. I don't mean to make it sound like it was so awful. It wasn't. But while I was making decisions that others might consider tough, I thought to myself, this is how I get to build my expertise. This is how I get to build my dream business. Like, I could just feel, okay, there were days, I mean, there were weeks when I was, many, many weeks when I was seeing like 20 plus clients a week, doing an hour of coaching with all of them. That's just like dozens of just sheer volume of coaching hours. And when I was doing that, yes, it was like a lot on my cognitive load. It was a lot on my energy, but I could just feel myself becoming a better coach every week just from that sheer volume of work. I could feel myself getting sharper, getting smarter, having bigger perspective. And I was failing a lot and learning a lot. And that was so fun for me. I was like, oh, this is worth it. Yeah, it's hard, but as hard as it is, I'm getting so much from it. And when I look around, I don't see all coaches necessarily feeling that way. They look for ways to not have to make sacrifices, and they look for ways to work less rather than, I guess, really finding a purpose that creates joy in the choices that you are making. And, you know, a big part of my nature is very like easygoing, and I'm very like much a big picture person and go with the flow, spontaneous. But another part of my nature is I have a Virgo moon, for those of you who are into astrology. And there are times when my Virgo moon just takes over, and she's like a detail-oriented control freak and a total perfectionist. And it's that side of me that gets me really obsessed with giving my clients the most amazing experience and making sure that when they sign with me, when they say yes to an experience with me, that I give them the best. And there's no room for sloppiness there. There's no room for haphazardly thrown together there. And I have to really demand a level of excellence from myself there. And for that too, the amount of labor and painstaking attention that I give to the work that I create, all of it is joyful. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to be honest. There are times when I feel, I'm like, oh, I spent so much time on this. My head's going to explode. Like, I'm so tired. Like, of course, there are times when I say that. But overall, I'm like, yeah, what else am I going to do? Like, give my clients half-ass work, right? What am I going to do? Not make this incredibly useful and beautiful? Like, these people paid me money. I'm going to give them my absolute best, right? So the kind of standards that come from like wanting the best for my clients and wanting the best for myself and the joy that it gives me to pursue that made me an incredibly hard worker. So that's the first thing, working hard, but not having it feel quote unquote hard because of what it means to me. And I don't think you can get to a million without that, without putting in the work and having it be fueled by the right emotions. Because if you're working hard and it's fueled by inadequacy and hustle and we'll only be happy when we get to X, Y, and Z, that is not going to help you get to a million faster, because you'll burn out really easily and you won't be in a great state of mind to solve problems, because you'll just be spending so much time and energy like getting around your own like exhaustion and your own resistance, instead of using all of that beautiful energy and intelligence and creativity that you have to give your clients the best. So you gotta have yourself a good time. I had a good time. I had a great time working incredibly hard. The second thing I did that was very different was I differentiated between my winning result and my bonus result. Now, if you have listened to my podcast, it was a few episodes ago when I talked about winning result versus bonus result. And people in my Joyful Marketing program are also, I'm like talking their ear off. They're talking their own ears off amongst themselves as well about the difference between the winning result and the bonus result. And put it in the simplest way, the winning result is a goal that you set so that you are setting yourself up for success. A winning result is how you know that you are winning, how you know you're making meaningful progress that you can really be proud of, that is actually achievable, and that once you achieve that goal is going to pay you back in really meaningful ways, especially over the long term. Now, the bonus goal, the bonus result is everything else. It's all the shiny, shoot for the moon, like fun, glamorous goals that you can have. So what I mean by I've kept my focus on the winning result is that I didn't make it a precondition of my success that I create like outrageous goals. I might have had thoughts that it would be really fun to create outrageous goals, but I stayed very much in within like a very sensible, almost very like conservative frame of what I'd like to accomplish with my business. And also as part of my winning result, I kept my focus on what's the inner growth that I want because I'm working on this? What's the mindset that I am creating? Who am I becoming? What skills am I learning? And I made that a part of my goal rather than I want to make all the money in the world. So for example, in 2019, last year, my goal, once I started getting some traction, my goal was to make $100,000 because that was like amazing. It looked like I would be able to pull it off. And at the time, the math just kind of made sense when I was setting that goal, maybe I think like halfway through the year. And I just kept my head down and did what I was doing. And I was like, I'll be really happy. I'll feel like I'm winning if I make $100,000. And the result is that I made $200,000 at the end of the year. But it's not because I changed my goal. I had 100K as my winning result. And so that when I achieved it, I didn't immediately increase my goal. I was in the mindset of, oh my gosh, I achieved my goal. I succeeded. I'm amazing. Everything that happens this year after this is just a bonus. And so for the rest of the year, I was just in this like almost like buoyant mindset of like, wow, what a miracle. Like I've met my goal. Like my work is done. Not my work is done, like I'm not going to do any more work, but like everything I do is bonus in that way. And working from that sense of accomplishment, a sense of pride, and this thought of like my goal is already met, I'm already successful, I already outdid myself. I think I was able to hit 200K, which I wasn't even aiming for. But do you see what I mean? What I see a lot of coaches doing is that they will meet a goal that they had for themselves and immediately up the stakes on themselves. And don't give them more than like a half a second to enjoy feeling successful and to acknowledge that they have in fact met a goal that seemed really hard not too long ago. This breaks my heart because it's like you go right back to feeling inadequate. You go right back to the hustle. And like, what's the point of achieving things if you're not going to be proud of them? Seriously. Like I'll have clients who hit 100K and they'll be like, well, that's obviously, okay, it's done, but what's next? Okay, I'm going to do 200K now, right? Or like a client will get fully booked and they're like, even though it felt impossible for them to even contemplate being fully booked just a year ago, they are now fully booked. And then they look at the number of dollars, the amount of money they made, and they're like, well, yeah, I know I achieved my dream of being fully booked, but this amount of money I made, this is too little. Other coaches are making a lot more. And so I'm going to feel like I'm not good enough. I'm going to feel like a failure until I make like five times this money. Guys, this is madness. This has to stop. We in the coaching industry cannot take on this like greedy, like it's never enough. More is always better. As soon as you achieve a goal, you have to double your goal and go hit it again. And you're never going to rest until you like chase the magic thing that makes you feel good enough, except that never happens because every time you do chase the magic thing and you get it, another magic thing opens up on the horizon where you're going to feel good enough and happy and successful when you get there. And there never happens because there's always a new there. This steals more energy and brilliance and momentum from coaches than probably anything else that I see. And I call this, I created a new name for this. You ready? It's called success negligence. And our brains are sneaky. The part of our brains that does this is a fucking asshole. And you have got to stop and notice when your life, there are parts of your life that are far greater than you thought they ever could be just a few years ago, where you have accomplished goals that seemed impossible before, when you have put in the work to meet a milestone and you immediately rush past it to give yourself a new goal where you're not going to let yourself feel good until you get there. You have to develop the awareness in yourself to see where you're doing it and stop and learn how to feel successful, how to feel proud of yourself, how to feel like what I have is amazing and everything that happens after this is a bonus. Please. I wish I could like shake every single one of you, because probably every single one of you that needs to be told this. Okay? So it's like setting yourself up to win with your winning result. And so with this year, 2020, so I did 200K last year. With 2020, my goal was to double that, right? So the beginning of the year, I said, okay, I would love to make $400,000 this year. And so I went to work with that in mind. That was my winning result. And I did like twice that in about 8 months. I made almost, you know, I think I made over 700,000 in the first 8 months, not because I was shooting for a million, but because I was just focused on doing my work and I wasn't freaking out because I just knew exactly what it was going to take for me to get to 400K and I just kept doing that work and it accidentally made me way more than that. Okay. Most people do the opposite. They set a sky-high goal as like, yeah, I can do it. I'm going to hustle. I'm going to push myself. I'm going to impress myself, all of which is great. Like I am all for pushing yourself, impressing yourself, blowing your own mind, all of that. But they set it up in a way where they, first of all, they decide that they're not going to feel proud of themselves. They're not going to feel good enough. They're not going to feel successful until they hit that goal. So all the way through working through that goal, they're going to feel miserable and not good enough and hustly and needy and stressed out. And second of all, they, because the goal feels so far away, they get lost in the how. Wait, but how do I do that? But how do I create that money? But how do I find that people? How? One of the biggest differences between me and a lot of coaches I see is that all the time they're being lost in the how and spinning out about the how. I just did the work, the really basic, boring work of just marketing and selling. Every time somebody else is freaking out about, how do I do that? How do I find people? I just got up in front of the people who were already around me, talked to them about my offer, helped them, paid attention to them, talked to them, cared about them, told them how I could help them, made offers, had those conversations. Every time somebody else is like getting lost in some complicated scheme, right? Because they think that doing like some kind of Byzantine strategy is what's going to take them to their sky high goal, because they don't have belief that like what creates that is like who they are, what they choose to believe about themselves. Here I am just thinking deeply about my clients, thinking deeply about the people I want to serve, loving them, caring about them, thinking about their problems, thinking about what's ailing them, and thinking about how, what I could come up with to make it easier for them to get closer to what they want. Thinking about how I can rephrase the same things I've been saying to make it even more useful. Thinking about how I can help people believe in themselves. Spending time believing that whoever needs my help is already right around me, and spending time just talking to them, just showing up. If you do this, you will make $1 million too. If you just stop being in the, what my mentor Brooke Casio calls the how greed, right? How greed is like when you're greedy for the how. But how did you do it? How did you get people? How did you know what offers to make? How did you know a strategy? How did you know what platform to be on? How? How greed is probably one of the number one telltale signs that you are not focused on just doing the basic, plain, unglamorous work that actually creates results. And I just told you what it is. Just believing deeper in your offer, paying attention to the people you want to serve, studying them, loving them, caring about them, coming up with solutions for them, delivering it to them, and just having conversations with them, making offers to them. It's like very basics of what it means to help somebody, very basics of what it means to just show up in front of people and give them something useful and invite them to take action towards new and better possibilities. Please just do that. It's going to take you all the way to a million. Which brings me to the third thing I want to say about what got me to a million, which is that I did a total of 4 launches this year. Like, I never did like formal launches with like dates and, you know, deadlines and that kind of thing before this year. But this year I did 4. That's a lot. And with every single one, it made me 6 figures. I had 4 6-figure launches. And I think how I plan my launches, there's something extraordinary about it, because every time I planned a launch, there was no action plan. There was no strategy. Okay, that's not true. It's not that there wasn't strategy, but that was like the exact action steps that I'm going to take, the exact what I'm going to do when, that was like a distant second in terms of priority of what I was paying attention to. The number one priority by far, the most important, like 80% of what I gave my attention and energy to, was figuring out what I wanted to believe and figuring out how I wanted to feel, and then spending time believing those things and spending time cultivating those emotions, feeling those emotions, finding out more about what it means to be in those emotions and luxuriating in those emotions. In the latest launch with Joyful Marketing, the feeling that I wanted to feel was joyful, obviously, right? I wanted to feel joyful in my launch. I wanted to feel joyful about the program. I wanted to feel joyful about the people. I wanted to feel joyful about the creative process. I wanted to feel joyful about myself. And then I made a list of like, okay, what can I believe? What do I want to believe about this program that's going to make me feel joyful? What do I want to believe about my people that's going to make me feel joyful about them? What do I want them to think and believe that's going to help them feel joyful? And then it was all of this internal exploration of like, it's like inner alignment, so to speak. It's like, okay, here's what I would need to believe. Here's what I want to believe. Here's what I want to feel. And I just spent all of my time just thinking those things and feeling those things first. First order of business. Okay. And a similar dimension to this is I also spent a lot of time thinking about, who do I want to be at the end of this? Who am I becoming as a result of this launch? And I had very specific ideas about that too. And it's something like, I'm becoming a version of myself that can like overcome these challenges. I'm becoming a version of myself who can hold belief throughout a launch and throughout whatever happens. Hold belief no matter what in the inevitability of what I'm creating. Hold belief in the value of what I have to offer. Hold belief in the people that I can help with this. I want to become a version of myself who always chooses growth over money, right? If there is a fork in the road and one direction is the direction of my integrity and my growth, it's my growth edge, and the other part of the road is like just like more immediate cash, I'm becoming somebody who always chooses against more money for now. And always just chooses the road of growth, chooses to go towards integrity and the kind of person I want to become. Because guess what? You're going to have to make that choice a lot, a lot. A lot of the time, somebody, it'll be like, maybe in the beginning, it'll be somebody asking for a discount. And a part of you is like, oh, but it's still money. We want to make money. And the other part's like, no, that doesn't feel good. Like, I don't want to discount the value of what I do. And maybe other times it could show up like, somebody, you have, let's say, a 3-month offer, and somebody says, you know what, like, I really want to work with you, but I don't know about these 3 months. What if we did 2 months? And again, there's another part of you is like, we could use the money. We could really use the client, make you feel more confident. And anyway, what's the problem? It's only 1 month. They might re-up anyway. Let's just give it to them. And your mind will go through all of these justifications for why we should just say yes to this money, rather than remembering why your offer lasts 3 months in the first place. why you love that offer and how that's actually what serves your clients best. And you like forget your principles, you forget the why, and your brain will always want to just say yes to the money. And it'll be very sneaky, it'll be very smart in terms of convincing you to just take the money. And I wanted to become somebody who always says no to the money if it means that it's going to be at the cost of my integrity, if it's at the cost of what I believe, at the cost of what I believe about my value and who I want to become, the kind of entrepreneur I want to become, the kind of coach I want to become. So that was my goal every launch. I choose growth, not money. I would rather make less money and grow. I would rather make less money and be in integrity. And those are the things. What am I believing? Who am I becoming? What emotion do I want to feel? I spend 80% of my time, if not more, on getting all of that aligned. And the action of what I actually do just flows downstream of that. And I, like, frankly, I barely worry about it, because when I'm so in the right thought and the right belief and the right alignment, and when I'm so aligned with the person that I want to become, and it feels very purposeful, and if it feels very clear, and I'm deeply connected to all of it, then I just want to go out and take massive, loving, service-oriented action. I just want to go out and take tons of action and serve tons of people in really meaningful ways, but from a lightness, right? Like, I take tons of action, but it works because not every single piece of action is like super heavy and, oh, it better work, right? Like, that kind of energy happens when you are leaning on the actions to get you the success you want, rather than filling yourself up with belief and feeling the way you want and the growth you want and who you want to become and all of these things, and then bringing that energy to the action so that each action itself is not so high stakes. And the actions that you take feel more like experimental rather than like, this has to be the thing that delivers a result. Makes me more curious. It makes me more flexible. It makes me more likely to evaluate and learn and make my next attempt even better, right? So getting out of, in my coaching school, we call it getting out of the A line, meaning like getting out of the action and just really focusing on inner alignment, how I feel, how I believe, and then taking massive unattached action from there. It's a secret. It's a secret to the universe. Now, I thought I was going to get to so much more, but I do want to take another full episode to just do Q&A. And so I'm going to have to close this episode for now, and I'll be back next week with part two on what it took for me to create $1 million. And I actually forgot to say all the fun stuff, which is that I was actually gifted some really beautiful flowers from some of my colleagues who had them sent to my home in Korea, and got a bottle of Dom Perignon, which I had never had before. And that was really special. And I took myself and my husband out to a nice night out in town. We saw a performance and we checked ourselves into a nice hotel. And we had a nice dinner with family. And some people asked me, like, tell me you bought something really expensive. And I gotta say, like, maybe this will change at some point, but I really can't think of anything that I could buy right now that would just make me happy. Like, I don't really do expensive handbags. I mean, I have all the bags I want. I don't need any more. I'm not into cars. Like, I do want to buy a bigger apartment, but that's not for a while, because it's just, that's a lot more money than I have made even this year, the kind of place I want. And so, you know, I like nice food. I like expensive champagne. And so that's what I got. And it made me really happy. And I like nice hotels. So that's what I treated myself to. But you know what? When I think of something really expensive that makes me really happy to buy, I'll let you guys know. Because I believe in celebrating that way, or whatever way you want. All right, my friends, I'll talk to you next week. Hey, if you're looking for a one-stop shop where you can find the best of my teaching, all organized into a beautiful and actionable sequence, guess what? I got you. I took the best of my podcast episodes and created a whole damn workbook around them. It's called the Simone Starter Pack, and it's the ultimate marketing cheat sheet. I got countless emails from folks who downloaded it saying, this free resource is worth more than all these courses I paid thousands of dollars for. So
What are you waiting for? Go grab the Simone Starter Pack. The link is in the show notes. I can't wait to see what amazing results you'll get from it.